Have any of you ever seen a film called A Beautiful Mind? Any of you? It's a story of John Nash, who was a brilliant guy, a man who was given the most fabulous mind. But if you remember the story, John Nash heard voices in his mind. He had thoughts that were not true, that were not rational, and some of those thoughts were destructive and deceitful. But they seemed so credible to him, so real to him. They were voices that sounded so authoritative, but they were voices that had become so familiar that he just accepted them as true. They were voices that sounded authoritative. These voices played on his darkest fears. They stole his joy and his peace. They destroyed his relationship. They distorted his perceptions of himself and others. If you remember, it made him rather obsessive and terrified. And at one point, if you remember the story, he almost ended his life because of it. So for those of you that remember the story, this brilliant guy with the beautifully complex mind, he had to learn, and it took him some time to do this. John Nash had to learn to test those voices, to test the thoughts that swirled about constantly in his mind. He had to learn not to listen to the ones that led to fear and darkness. He had to learn not to listen to the ones that were, in fact, telling him a lie. There's one line that I love in this movie. Some of you may remember. It's after he has learned that there was a true voice and that there were also false voices. Toward the end of the film, someone talks about those voices and asks him what he's done to be able to move through into a healthier place. This is what he says. I love this. He says, I've gotten used to ignoring those other voices. And as a result, I think they've given up on me. You may remember when Jesus was baptized, the Father sent his Spirit to his Son to speak truth into his life. Why? Because I think the Father knew that there would be many other voices in Jesus' life, voices that would try to question who he was. If you remember, immediately after his baptism, what was the voice he heard? If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple, for it is written, he has given his angels charge concerning you. Other voices through his life. If you're the Son of God, how can you hang around with the drunkards and the gluttons? How can you be friends of tax collectors and sinners? Other voices said, if you're the Son of God, let us make you our king, because with your power, you could destroy Caesar and make the streets run with Roman blood. Other voices that said, if you are the Son of God, perform some miracle. We might choose to save your life. Other voices, after he was blindfolded and spat upon and slapped in the face, that said, if you are the Son of God, prophesy to us. Who's beating you now? The last voices that Jesus heard before he died were these. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Then maybe we'll believe you. This is an amazing thing about Jesus' life. In the face of all of these voices, Jesus never lost heart. Jesus never lost his faith. He never lost his hope. He never questioned who he was. Jesus never wavered in his convictions, not once. Where did Jesus get this amazing sense of self? That's my question for you this morning. Where did he get this incredible assurance to stand utterly alone. I think it was because he was listening to the right voice. Over and over again, Jesus went off alone. We remember the story. We sang about it early this morning in the garden, very early in the morning when it was still dark. The Bible tells us he went to a solitary place. It says that he went at times up to the mountaintop, at times to the Sea of Galilee, sometimes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He went to be alone. Jesus went to hear again the voice that he heard on that day when he was baptized, the day that it all began, the day when the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And the Father set his seal, his affirmation, his promise upon his Son, the one who would go to the cross for you and me. And the Father said to his Son, it doesn't matter what other voices you might hear, whether they hail you or whether they hate you, whether they curse you or whether they crown you, you are my Son, the Beloved. My favor rests on you. I think that's the voice that Jesus kept stepping back in order to hear. So here's my question for you this morning as we prepare for the foot washing. If Jesus had to continually draw back to be alone and to listen to the right voice, how could you and I ever endure living in a fallen world with all the voices that surround us without also doing the very same? So this is what I'd like for you to consider this morning. Whose voice are you listening to? And what is that voice, or what are those voices telling you? What's going on inside of your head, right between our ears, and pretty much all the time is this constant energy and activity. You have this ceaseless experience of thoughts, researchers tell us. One after the other, there's a series of thoughts unceasingly passing through your mind. And this is going on right now. Did you know that? It goes something like this. Maybe you're sitting there right now and you have a thought, and you look down at your cell phone on your lap, and you read a text that just came in, and you say, what does he mean by that? You again look down at your iPhone that you hold in your hands, and you notice your hands, and then you begin to think, oh, would you look at my nails? I'm still biting my nails. That's such a nasty habit. I hope nobody sees me. Oh, wow. Now I really feel embarrassed. And then more voices enter into your head. I did that at work yesterday. I bit my nails at work yesterday because I thought my boss was mad at me, and I'm really worried about that. Sometimes I really get mad at my boss. I'll tell you what I'd really like to tell my boss. I'd really like to tell my boss off. That would be something if I told my boss off, wouldn't it? Hey, there's a couple sitting in front of us right now. They're holding hands. Why doesn't my husband hold my hand anymore? They look happier than we do. I wonder if something's wrong with our relationship. Oh, the pastor's up there talking again. Isn't our pastor also a therapist? I wonder if I need therapy. Now, we giggle at that, right? But here's the truth about us. The truth is, we're not so different from John Nash, are we? This is us. Our mind is full of these voices, these thoughts, these observations, perceptions, and ideas. You're having them at such a staggering rate that you don't even remember the vast majority of them. But your mind is a ceaselessly flowing stream, out of which comes either light or darkness, freedom or fear, life or death. How does Scripture put it? In the Proverbs, as a woman thinks in their heart, what? So are they. So is he. So is she. You see, those voices often form our perceptions. They determine our character, our personality, how we experience reality, how we form our relationships, how we perceive our appearance. Speaking of appearance, what do you see when you stand in front of the mirror in the morning? When you get up first thing in the morning, what do you see? Do you like what you see? Are you thinking to yourself, will they like what they see? What do you see? Do you see someone who is beautiful or handsome? When you look at yourself in the mirror, are there inner voices telling you, are you enough? Do you see someone who is made in the image of God, or do you see someone maybe rather that needs to significantly change that image somehow? What do you see? And what voices are you listening to right now? We all want to look good, don't we? I mean, there's a piece of all of us that wants to look our best. We all, to some extent, struggle with fears and insecurities about how we look on the outside. None of us are exempt from that. Did you know a recent survey found that 70% of women felt depressed, guilty, inadequate, and shameful after looking at a fashion magazine for only 2 minutes? The voices that we listen to, the lies that we choose to believe, it's an obsession of the worst kind. And it's important for you to understand how that obsession began, where we stopped listening to the loving voice of the Creator God and started to listen to other voices, dark voices. Go back with me for just a moment to the book of beginnings. God spoke and the universe was created. There was life and there was light in his voice. He knows the creative power in his voice. God's voice always emanates from who he is, his character. And everything that God creates, he creates with the sound of his voice. He speaks it into being. And everything that he speaks into existence, the Bible said, is good, right? It is beautiful. It is true. Do you believe that? So the Bible said that he spoke, and he said, let there be light, and there was light, and he spoke, and he created the universe. He spoke, and there were galaxies and solar systems and novas and supernovas, and God spoke, and there was this planet right in the midst called Earth. And in the most intimate declaration of life, God said, let us create man and woman in our very likeness. And with this particular work of art, God got intimate and personal. Do you remember? Face to face, nostril to nostril, cheek to cheek, mouth to mouth, heart to heart. And God breathed into you and into me life and light and consciousness. And do you know that at that moment, you and I became his signature work of art? And if you look at history before man, everything that existed was an extension of the voice of God. Absolutely everything that was created, because God spoke it out of his character, out of his creative energy. And that is exactly who we are. If you think about it, human beings are really the voice of God wrapped up in skin. That's who we are. Even Jeremiah says so. He says, before you were born, what? I knew you. How could God know you before you were born? How does that happen? Except that you and I somehow existed throughout eternity in the dreams and the imagination of God. How does that sound to you this morning? And you remember how the narrative turned dark. The serpent came into the lives of Adam and Eve, and the serpent said, God doesn't want you to eat from this tree because he knows that if you eat from this tree, you will become like God. But here's what's confusing. In Genesis 5, it tells us that they were already like God. And by the way, just before God says, let us make man in our image, God also says, this is my most creative and imaginative thought. I am going to create a human, male and female, I will create them. I'm going to create them in my image and my likeness, and they are going to be just like me. Can you imagine? So you see, somehow the serpent convinced Adam and Eve that they were not what they already were. In that very moment, a new voice entered into human history. A new voice entered into the human narrative. And that strange new voice says, you're not really like God. He's just lying to you, telling you that you're just like him. And the reason he doesn't want you to eat from that tree is you will become like him. And the last thing that he wants is for you to become just like him. But here's the problem with that. Remember, he created us to be just like him. In his very image. I want you to hear the question that God asked them. This is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God in the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to man, "Where are you?" he answered. "I have heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" It's a very strange question, don't you think? I mean, knowing God like we do, we probably assume that God being God, he knew exactly where they were, right? God said to Adam and Eve, "Where were you hiding? Where are you?" And Adam responds, "I was hiding because I heard you walking in the cool of the garden, and we both were afraid because we were both naked." And we hear the clear, unmistakable voice of God as he asks Adam and Eve a very simple question. Who told you that you were naked? Now, please stay with me for a moment. Do you hear what God is asking? I mean, up to this moment, Adam and Eve, everything in your universe, everything in your world, everything in your reality is informed and formed by my own voice. But now you have allowed another voice into your mind and into your heart and into your soul. Now you have allowed another voice to replace or at least run stiff competition to my voice. Who told you that you were naked? Did I ever mention that you two were naked? Did I ever speak such nonsense into your life? Who told you that you were naked? And I want you to understand that from that moment to this moment, the story of humanity, we humans have been listening. Please listen to me. We have been listening to the wrong voice. from that moment, we've allowed another voice to creep into our brains, into our hearts, and into our souls. And they're voices that tell us that we are not enough, that we are somehow less than, that we don't measure up, that we somehow need to be more. We need to look different. We need to act different, talk different, be different, to somehow be acceptable. And maybe for some of us this morning, we've allowed those voices to become so powerful, so prevalent in our lives that we begin to think that it's our own voice. And because it becomes so familiar in our head and in our heart, we just accept it without questioning it. We just learn to trust it as the truth. But brothers and sisters, here is the truth. More often than not, the voices that we end up listening to are not the voices that God wants you to be listening to. Now, there are some of you here that have had really beautiful voices throughout your life. Maybe from the first moment in life, someone really special, really good and warm, held you and loved you and made you feel safe and secure and said, I love you, to the moon and back again, I love you. Maybe there are some of you here who had significant people in your life who saw in you such value and affection and such acceptance and love, and they said to you in a thousand ways over again, you are the most precious treasure of my life. But listen, I'm a pastor, I'm also a licensed clinician, and frankly, there have been so many days when I have encountered person after person after person who have had other voices speaking destruction and darkness into their lives. Voices that made them feel ashamed, voices that made them feel inadequate or less than, voices that told them that they would never amount to anything, voices that told them that they would never be of any value. Voices that told them they needed to act a certain way or look a certain way or behave a certain way or achieve certain things in life in order to be somebody. You see, just like John Nash, there's a lot of room inside of our minds and our hearts and our souls for other voices. The voices of your parents, maybe your caregivers, maybe it was the voices of your grandparents, or the voices of teachers, or the voices of peers, or the voices of the guy who said he really loved you and then took your most intimate possession and then shortly after told you he was done with you. The voice of every woman who said she'd stand right by your side but eventually walked away for another. The voices of every person in your life who said, I will never betray you, and later on they cut you like a knife, and it was painful and it was deep. All those voices that speak into your soul and they do damage to who you are, they do not bring life. They bring death and into our hearts and minds and souls. And they eventually silence the voice that you were created to hear. I love this quote. One of my favorite authors, Henry Nouwen, he says this. Even though you may not be chosen by this world, you are chosen by God. And every time you listen to His voice, you will discover within yourself a desire to hear that voice longer and more deeply. It's like discovering a well of refreshment, Nouwen says, in the middle of a desert. You see, when the world tries to tell you that you are less than, when those voices try to speak into your soul and tell you that you have to become more or look better or lose more or change that smile or increase this part of your body, you know how that goes. I mean, professional spas and plastic surgeons make billions of dollars on people listening to those voices. I think it's time, people, that we push back. That we listen to the voice that says clearly to us, you have been created in my image. And you have been redeemed from your shame and from your guilt and from your sense of inadequacy. So stand up tall. You are a son or daughter of the living God. That deserves an amen, doesn't it? God says, I have set you free. And there are some of you this morning, some of those voices have been haunting you for many, many years now. They just keep pulling you under and taking you back and sabotaging your joy. Beloved, I think it's time that we let Jesus silence those voices. Amen? What did he say? He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And then he said, if you know the truth about yourself and about me, it will set you free. So my question to all of you this morning is, whose voice are you listening to right now? I think it's time, as your pastor, I want to say this to you. I think it's time to let the God who loves you, the God who created you, the God who died for you, the God who gave up himself completely for you, Philippians 2 says, it's time for us to let the voice of the living God be the only voice we pay attention to. Let's pray. God, in the stillness of this moment, we long to hear only your voice. May you remind us who we are, because often we forget. May you remind us that you have created us in your image, just like you. And though we have been marred by sin and brokenness, God, your desire is that we bear your image, that we hear only your voice, and that it empower us to be the best versions of ourselves. So may your spirit bring life and light to us through the sound of your voice. And may we listen carefully and hold on to the truth. In Jesus' name, and everyone said together, amen. It's time to